As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear this call to worship from Psalm 68. Come, sing praises to God. Rejoice in his presence, for he is our God, a father to the fatherless, the defender of all who need protection, the one in whom the lonely find a home and the prisoner finds release. Bless the Lord, the God of our salvation, who sustains and strengthens us day after day. Let us worship God together. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, that is who you are. A father to all of us, your children. Those of us who have lost fathers or maybe feel like never had a father. And those who love our fathers. Thank you that you are a good father to one and all. Thank you that you are our protector, that you are our defender, you are our provider, our sustainer, our refuge, our strength. You are here with us even now. A father who chooses to be with your children and for your children. What a gift. Most of all, you are a father of love. A God whose love knows no bounds, whose forgiveness is limitless, and whose presence and goodness are all consuming. It is our joy, O God, to worship you this day. On Father's Day and on every day, for you indeed are worthy of the hearts, the lives, the voices, the prayers of your children. And so here we are. Would you be honored in this place? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And now, Father, as we turn to your word, continue to awaken in us the reality of your presence dwelling here with us. Your people have come together to encounter you. Your people have come together to lift high your name. Your people have come together to hear from you, O God. And your word tells us that in a place such as this, you are glad to dwell among us. And so, knowing you're here, would you open our ears to hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you can help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us even do whatever it is you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever told God what your dreams are? You ever let him know what you would really like to see, what you would really like to do, what you really wish would happen? Have you ever asked God if maybe he could give you a hand in helping those dreams come to be? What are some of your dreams that you've shared with God? You can say them out loud if you want. Anybody got a dream you've shared with God? A music resort. Awesome. I like it. Anybody else got a dream you share with God? Yeah, just shout it out.
Healthy family.
Healthy family. World peace. World peace. Tammy, you got something. Peace. Self-peace. I like it. Peace within. Lucas, is that a hand? What's your dream you share with God?
Healthy life.
Healthy life. I like it. I like it. One up here. Last one.
Reconciliation for families.
Reconciliation within the family. I love it. Don't you just love that we serve a God who loves us so much that he actually delights in hearing our dreams and sharing them with us. A new kind of question for this morning. Have you ever asked God what his dreams are for you, for us, for our life together? Have you ever asked God to let you know what kind of things he actually might like to see, what he might like to do? Have you ever asked God if maybe we could give him a hand in helping his dreams come to be? It's kind of a twist, isn't it? We have this God who delights in hearing the dreams of his children, that our God might have children who delight in returning the favor and listening in on the dreams of their father. That's what we've been doing the last 3 weeks in this place, ever since Pentecost, where we remember together that just this very thing called church, it's his dream. It's his baby. And out of this dream, God has some more specific hopes and dreams for how his people will actually do this thing called church together. We spent 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks, looking at this dream God has that the church would be as a family in this place. If you missed either of the last 2 weeks, go back and listen in on those, because it's important for our life together that we're all on the same page of what his dream is and what we're seeking after together. And today we just get another one of his dreams for us, and that is the dream that his church would be as a living temple. We're going to dig into that a bit. This living temple. If you know anything about the ancient temple of Jerusalem, of all the things that happened in that beautiful, astounding building, what would you say was the temple's very main purpose? What was the point of the temple? Yeah.
It's God's house.
It's God's house, yeah. So we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of the story to kind of unfold this thing called the temple. Go all the way back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. In the creation story, as you remember, you have God and God's people dwelling together in that Garden of Eden place, right? And there they are, they're walking and talking and working together. They are enjoying life in this unbroken relationship together. Everything, God looked around and said, this is good. This is how it's supposed to be, me and my people together. You know how the story goes, right? By Genesis 3, it has fallen apart. And the whole entire rest of the story, the whole rest of the story is this God trying to get back into this garden, this dwelling place with his children. In Exodus 29, the next book of the Bible, we find God and he's giving instructions to Moses about this thing that's going to be called the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is going to be this transportable tent of sorts where the Israelites can come together no matter where they are in the wilderness. And in that place, they can find and they can worship their God. God says of this tabernacle place, Exodus 29, verses 42 to 46, he says, there I will meet you and speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. Verse 45, then I will dwell among the Israelites, and I will be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt, so I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. You see, the tabernacle was a place where God promised to literally meet with his people as his people came to meet with him. It was this little glimmer of Eden, the living God dwelling with his children again. When the Israelites finally get into Jerusalem and they have the promised land and they begin to build that beautiful temple, the most holy part of the temple was the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies, there resided part of the tabernacle, and that was the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was the very seat on which God's presence was said to dwell. And it was in the innermost part of the temple of Jerusalem. Only one person could go there, the high priest. And he could only go there one time a year. It was such a holy place. Not just anyone could enter into the presence of God. But just to be near the Holy of Holies and the next court over, or the next court over, was at least to be near to God himself. When you begin to look at what happened in the temple, you realize that everything going on in the temple of Jerusalem points back to what was happening in the Garden of Eden. The temple decorations, I love how the kids mentioned decorations. What does God like for decorations? In the temple, everything was made of gold, and a lot of these like golden things were statues of flowers and such, pictures of the garden. The lampstand in the temple, it was a menorah. The menorah was a symbol of the tree of life. The priest, they were called to care for the temple day in and day out. The same wording used for Adam and Eve as they were called to tend to and care for the Garden of Eden. And in the center of this temple was God's presence right there with his people. Just like in the garden. It's no surprise then that the Jewish people would come from the ends of the earth to try to get as close to the presence of the living God as they could be. They would come to worship him. They'd come to get their hearts right with him. They would come to commune with the living God. Even though things had gotten messed up in Eden, there was still this God who chose to dwell among his people. And his people would go to great lengths to come and to dwell with him. I mean, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Imagine that. Imagine that today you got word that the living God himself was actually hanging out in one specific place and you could come and be with him. We said it before, I think not even that long ago, but let's just say, because it's a good place, let's just say we found that God was hanging out at a picnic bench at Belfair State Park. Someone said, he's there right now. Belfair State Park, God is sitting on a bench and you can go see him if you want. Imagine that. Would you not, in this very moment, drop everything to get there as quickly as possible? You wouldn't dare wait for your favorite TV show to end, right? He'll still be there later. You wouldn't dare schedule your meeting there after the kids' soccer season is over. You wouldn't even think about it. You wouldn't dare run through McDonald's and get a sweet tea first. No, it's tempting, but you wouldn't do it. No, if you knew that right now the living God was hanging out in a place that you could actually access, just waiting to meet with you, you would be there, wouldn't you? I'd be there. Nothing could get in your way. You would be there. The temple was this place where God promised he would be there. His children could come near, and only one could come in, but near was still a gift because God was there, and they would be there too. Just like in Eden, though, in 586 BC, that temple comes falling down too. King Nebuchadnezzar, remember that name from Vacation Bible School when you were a kid? King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he moves in with his forces, not only destroys the temple building, but sends all of the strongest, smartest, most handsome Jews off into exile. where they are moved far, far away from where they had felt the nearness of God. And they are away in exile for 70 years. But as soon as they get permission to return home, the very first things that these Jewish exiles begin to do when they get back to Jerusalem is, guess what? Rebuild that temple. They had to get back to this place where they could dwell with their God. Jesus comes along almost 500 years later, just as Herod the Great has funded the finishing touches on the second temple. It's been under construction for centuries. So see, construction has come along a little bit. They've gotten a bit better. And John 1 says of Jesus, you know those words in John 1, the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. Dwelt among us. I love how the Message puts it. The Word put on flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The Word who was God, who is God, John says, he dwelt among us. The first words about Jesus in the Gospel of John indicate that the living God has left the building and he is dwelling in the neighborhood, in our neighborhood. Fast forward in John 15, verses 1 through 11, this is part of Jesus's farewell discourse. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to resurrect and ascend to heaven and be away from his disciples in a physical way for a while. And so he's giving them the final words they're going to need before they are without him for the rest of their lives. And in John 15, 11 times in 11 verses, Jesus invites his disciples to abide with him, to dwell with him, to find a home with him. Even though he's going away to heaven, he assures his people 11 times that he has made a new way for God and for God's children to dwell together, to be at home together. And he is that way. Jesus is now the temple. He even refers to himself as such. In John 2:19, he says, pointing at that second temple that Herod is finishing up, he says, tear this temple down. This one that just finally got completed after centuries of construction. And he says, and I will build it up again in 3 days. The people get mad about that. How dare he talk about their temple being destroyed again? And how dare he make this ridiculous claim that he can rebuild this thing that took centuries to build in just 3 days? Now we know what he's talking about isn't that temple building, is it? But it's him, his body, his life. Jesus is this new dwelling place where God and his children will find home together. And then we see how the story ends. Revelation 21. You went from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21 in one sermon. That's good, right? It's good. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. John says, look, God's dwelling place is among the people. a new heaven and a new earth in this garden city with the Lamb of God in the center of that place, the tree of life, this river flowing, and there's now no tears, there's no death, there's no pain. Jesus is there making everything new, he says, and God and his people are together again forever. There's no guards at the gates of Eden to keep us out. And there's no trek across the wilderness of Sinai to get to that tent to find him. And there's no curtain that is cutting off the Holy of Holies from us ordinary people. There is nothing in the way of a God who has always only wanted one thing. And that thing is to be at home with his children. If we dare ask God, what is your dream for me? God, what is your dream for us? If we dare ask that, you will hear something to the effect of just to be at home with you, my child. And we see it in Revelation 21, God and his children dwelling together, walking together, talking together, working together, laughing together, living our full lives in God's presence together. Forever. And so between Jesus's ministry, God in flesh, dwelling among us in our neighborhood, and the culmination of all things in Revelation 21, us and God's presence forever, between these two things, there's this strong word in 1 Peter about the churches, or actually 1 Peter 2, but we're looking at Ephesians today. I went back and forth all week long. But there's a strong word about the church's place in this in-between time. In between when Jesus has come to tell us what's possible in our life with God as his people being together again. And in between when he's going to return and bring all of his dreams to fruition once and for all. The church stands in this in-between time with this special calling. From Ephesians 2, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. And in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We hear this word. You too are being built together to be a dwelling in which God lives. We hear this word, and our American Christian culture has us immediately say to ourselves, I am a temple of God. God dwells in me. And he does, it's true. But Paul's not talking here to one person about their individual life with God. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, to the people of God in that place together. And he tells them, you all together are bricks of a building in which Jesus is the center. Jesus has given the people of God a real way to be with God right here on earth, right now, anytime, any place. In Jesus, there is a new temple that is being built that cannot be destroyed. They tried it. It didn't work. Paul says, in Jesus, we are being built together. Say that word with me, together. In Jesus, we are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is important. See, Jesus has brought heaven to earth. God in flesh, moving into our neighborhoods, making his home among us. Jesus ascended into heaven and sent his Spirit to continue this indwelling work of God among his people until we are all with Jesus again. And that indwelling happens when we come together to be God's people in this world. God dwells among us in a special way when his people are built up in his presence together. Now we know that God's Spirit is everywhere, don't we? We know that. I can commune with God all alone on my living room couch or on a hiking trail somewhere. No doubt about that. When I worship God in my car, he is right there with me. When I pray beside my bedside, the living God is there. That's true. He is there. But the fullness of God's presence dwelling among his people is always best seen and shared as his people seek his face together. Together. Even Jesus himself said so. Matthew 18:20, where two or more gather in my name, I am there with them. Ephesians 2:22, in him you are being built together to become a dwelling place for God. God loves to hang out just you and him, but he loves even more to hang out us and him. It's his favorite. Here's the promise. Where God's people gather, there God is. Where God's people are built up together, there God finds his home. And this is just as much as a promise as the one given at the tabernacle and the one given at that holy temple in Jerusalem. Just as the people knew that God would be there where God said he would be, God tells us now that as you gather together in my name to worship me, I will be there too. This church, together, we are a living temple where the living God promises to meet us as we encounter him together. And when we get that promise, when we believe that it is what it is because God said it, I don't know how we could stay away. I don't know how we could want to be anywhere else. When we know that God has promised to find a home among his people as we seek him together. I just don't know how we could be anywhere else. I mean, sure, Sunday brunch is nice. And an extra hour of sleep is always wonderful, right? And sports are fun. And family days are awesome. But God telling his children, when you get together for me, who's going to crash that party? He says, I am. The living God will show up in our midst in ways that he just doesn't do when we are alone. He will show up in a power that we cannot tap into on our own. God will be found among us as we seek him together. This is the living God with us. People would travel from the ends of the earth to come to his temple. And he says, all I need is for my people to come together and I will be there, the living God. I just don't know how we could stay away. Not when we get what happens when we actually come together. A bunch of tired, weary, wandering people come into this place and bam! A living temple where God himself dwells breaks out among us. How can we stay away? How? There's this trend in our Christian culture today. You know it well. It tells folks they only need to develop their personal relationship with God. Did you know that there's really nowhere in Scripture where it talks about just God living in my heart? That's kind of an American evangelical construction. It tells folks, you only need to worry about your personal relationship with God. And so often there's people who are part of us who maybe I don't see for several weeks in a row. And I tell you, when I reach out just to check on them, 9 out of 10 times, you know what I hear in return? I'm just working on myself for a while. There's this prevalent idea that we can have all of God that we want while having as little to do with his church as we want. And I tell you, my friends, none of that is in Scripture. And none of that aligns with God's dreams for us. From the first pages of Genesis to that last glimpse that we see in Revelation, God's life with his children is always most on display when his people are loving him together, worshiping him together, seeking his face together, growing in their walk with him together. When his people gather, it's their shared lives together that become the very place where heaven sneaks in and God dwells on earth right here, right now, with us, his children. I tell you, I encounter the living God every time I hear your testimonies about him in this place, every time. I tell you, I know the living God more when the diverse perspectives of my brothers and sisters are shared around the table in this place and they just add to my own. I hear God's voice when you pray with me. I am transported to heaven, that eternal dwelling place, when there are dozens of voices singing God's praise together. It's one thing to sing in my car. This is better. This is better. I am more courageous and I am more faithful to shine the light of Jesus in my world when you remind me week after week of who God is and who God has called me to be. And I am so much better at sharing the grace of God when I have received the grace of God from you. Together, we become a living temple. Together, we show an entire zip code that God is actually here among us. Together, we stay strong in him. Together, we have this promise that God will be here when we come to worship him together. If you knew where you could find God today, where he was just waiting to meet with you, if you knew it, you'd drop everything and be there, would you not? You're here. He's told us where he's going to dwell the most between now and heaven come. And it's where his people gather together to lift up his name. Let us drop everything as often as we can and worship the living God together. If we really want to dwell with our God, we will dwell with each other. When we are together, he will find us and he will make his home right here among us. He has promised us that. How could we possibly stay away from that? What a promise. What a gift. What a dream. Aren't you glad God's told us part of his dream? That we might realize God's dream come true together. To pray with me. Oh God, that you would choose to dwell among us. We are an interesting group of people in this place. We've got stories. We've got burdens. We've got quirks. We've got messes. We've got beauty and grit and grace. Most of all, we've got a shared love for you, O Jesus. We thank you for this beautiful promise that every time we come together in this room around a table to break bread in a home or in a Bible study, to share your goodness with little kids and teenagers. Every time we come together, you promise that your presence breaks out in that place in a special way. Could you give us a hunger, a thirst, a longing, oh God, to be where you are, to not miss you when you show up, to celebrate your presence and your goodness together. Let this church be a living temple for you in this very community, oh God, so that we may encounter you, but also that all the folks that live around us who do not know you, oh God, might see your good, loving presence flowing through us, and they will want to come and see and encounter you too. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.